Aê!
Halli, hallo. I said it
So,
this
how is
time.
it? How is
How you
the
doing, my friend?
weather? I just picked up Walter and the buddy from school and bring them together to handball. So now he has one guy in his school class who also want to play handball, so I can bring them together to the training, and then sometimes the mother of the kid will bring it to training. Yeah, and they told you the whole story about our worms and parasites we had.
Yeah, you told us that.
Yeah,
That's pretty
so now
gross.
it's solved. The worms are dead, the parasites in me are dead. On my last test, but Walter and Natalie still doing like a cleanse. So,
Okay.
yeah. So,
Well, I'm glad that you guys are recovering from that.
yeah, because if you read more about it, you feel like The Last of Us. Remember that TV show or video game
Yeah,
where they're
yeah.
all dying by a fungus they're having, and the fungus takes over. It's like crazy. And that is yeah, it can be scary if you get the wrong parasites and the wrong worms who are not treatable and who go in your inner organs. The fox tapeworm is deadly.
Oh.
Yeah, and it's inoperable. So basically, if you get that tapeworm, you have 15 years.
Yeah, you know, there's some crazy parasites out there. Like, I know one of the old co-hosts of the G4 show, Attack of the Show, that you were on, got married, and on her honeymoon, she went around the world for like a couple years with her husband. And she comes back and she's having lunch in downtown LA, and she starts to have a seizure in the restaurant. And she goes to her doctor, and it turns out she had like worms like in her brain or something from the food that she ate when she was going around the world.
Yeah.
Pretty fucked up, pretty crazy. So be fucking careful out there, guys, what you eat and what you drink if you're in other countries. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and like the dogs were always in our bed, sleeping in our bed. And now we put them in their dog beds in front of our bedroom and closing the door. The first night was absolutely a disaster because they flipped completely out and couldn't believe why they're not allowed in bed anymore. But the reality is that dogs running around and eating dead shit, like poo, dead
Yeah.
mouses, dead rabbits, and then they carry the worms. But for the dogs, a lot of times it's not deadly. But if they transfer the eggs and whatever are basically into you. What is possible if a dog is basically on your pillow, and shit comes out of the mouth and whatever, and then I turn on the pillow and have it in my mouth. I mean, it's disgusting. But the reality, all this shit can happen, it can happen. And funny enough, yesterday evening we were watching a South Park episode and it was exactly about that, about worms and this feces poo transplants they're doing in some clinics to get into other people's digestion system a better probiotic situation. They're actually pumping poo from super healthy people into your ass. It's
Ugh.
true. A lot of things at the South Park is true, and they of course showed it in the most disgusting way. And in the South Park episode, they wanted to Tom Brady's poo. It's the juice, the best poo in the world. If you get Tom Brady's poo, you will never get sick again. So, a total disaster,
That's crazy. That really exists.
yeah, I
Oh
know.
my God.
Yeah.
That's fucking outrageous. What a world we live in.
No, horrible. It's totally horrible. And no, yeah, but it is what it is. I'm happy that, to my big surprise, my poo was was okay. And
Yeah,
then,
now people are going to get Uwe Boll poo.
yeah, exactly. I'm the juice. So I have to say, I'm watching all the South Park episodes from
Yeah.
season 23 onwards. And this show is dead on with everything. You know, it's just like absolutely the most reflective satire of the total insanity we are in. You cannot like that they have everything in, from legalizing of the weed, from this poo bullshit, what I just said, but of course from Corona, from the vaccine, from the transgender stuff. There was an episode where a total bodybuilder guy who looked like John Cena, whatever, with a beard, is telling, "Yeah, I'm a woman now," and then he wins in all the competitions, right? So, and everybody is too scared because of political correctness to tell him he's cheating, and that is also like it reflects on Chappelle's Netflix, a new stand-up special where he also said, "If I ever go to jail, I will go to California," because then he said, "I will." Say when they do the judgment, like that I was, that I feel like a woman and I want to be treated like a woman, and in California they put you in a woman jail. I mean, it's really insane, you know.
Yeah, I heard things in California are kind of crazy right now with some of their laws, like no bail law and like people being put back on the streets and the shoplifting, the people, the mass shoplifting that's going on. You saw those videos online, right?
Crazy. Yeah, and
Yeah.
it reflects, I think, the whole situation also America is in now because of the crazy election coming up. And I think in Germany also today was a debate about the budget. And when you So we have this kind of total absurdity, woke cancel culture, political correctness side. And then we have the super radical kind of shoot all gays side, basically, right? So, and in the middle, people try to find the orientation. Oh, God, the phone. Wait one second. Sorry.
Yeah.
Wait one second. Hello? Ja, hi, hi, hör mal. Kannst du mich in 20 Minuten nochmal anrufen? 25 Minuten. Ich bin mitten im Gespräch. Bis gleich. Bis gleich. Tschö, tschö. That was somebody from Croatia, where we will shoot run that film in April. So, you know, it's this kind of like it comes more and more across that we are in a total strange situation. You know, we are in a total strange situation on this planet Earth. And I don't know if it's like the victory of the totalitarian regimes straight in front of us, that China and Russia did all of this and are successful with it to completely destroy the West. With propaganda, so that the West is too busy with themselves to survive.
Yeah, that everybody needs to like be very aware of the fact that our internal struggles here, our internal politics is weakening us as a nation. Like he Uwe Boll has a point that we're so busy with these distractions, these petty internal distractions that these superpowers of other countries are rejoicing at, like people like Russia, they have their shit together because they're cooperative with their government. They're cooperative. They have it all. They have their shit together. We don't have our fucking shit together. So It's kind of a frightening time. Like, remember, see that news article I sent you earlier today about the guy who beheaded his father?
Yeah, it's insane. Unbelievable.
Because it's fucking crazy. His dad was a 68-year-old government employee, and the guy chopped off his head and made a 14-minute YouTube video saying that like they have to like fight the government and there's a war with Biden and like that is going to come to like this that he killed his own father in for the sake of like true American democracy and crazy shit.
Yeah, no, I mean that it's also it leads to uncontrollable violence,
Yeah.
right? And it makes violence kind of acceptable to a lot of people. And we talked about it before about the dehumanization of whole groups and religions and races and everything. And it's just like insane how we can throw away our biggest asset, and that is freedom and peace. That we are
Yeah.
getting so used to violence and everything. And it's shocking for me how not the biggest goal should be, for example, to get peace in Ukraine or to get peace in Gaza. You know, like when you see now that in Gaza, for example, how the situation turned from, yes, there was a gruesome Hamas massacre, and to basically, okay, but now it's also a very gruesome Israel massacre on the government, on the people in Gaza. You know,
Well, dude,
it's
I
yeah.
went out the other day and I saw spray painting on a wall, like it said no genocide. That shit's coming here. People are going fucking crazy saying it's genocide and all this shit.
Yeah, but it's not genocide. I think that is
Yeah.
it's like absurd, right? It's not a genocide. A genocide is you bomb Gaza and everybody's dead. So that is genocide. Then you just killed everybody. So that is not a genocide. It's also not a genocide in Ukraine, for example. You know how many Ukrainian civilians in the last 8 months died in that war? Under 200.
Yeah.
In 8 months. So if that is a genocide, then I don't know what a genocide is. And I really don't know what the Second World War was or the Holocaust or whatever. You know, I mean, it's just laughable.
Well, these people fail to see both sides. That's the problem. You know what I mean? They see it only one way. And, I think Israel has every right to defend itself, and they're going to have to see this through to the end. You know what I mean? They can't just fucking leave. You know what I mean?
I'm 100% with you, but it's also for to reach your goal, you also have to put into account that especially children, right? Children are victims of propaganda. So that in the very end, out of Gaza are a lot of Hamas new terrorists because the kids grow up and getting infiltrated. That is not an excuse to kill them now where they're still kids. You know, because
Yeah.
if you would take the kids away and let them grow up in the middle class family in America as adopted childs, they would develop completely different as they develop if they are in a Quran school every day for 5.5 hours. So, you know, that is the thing. And that has to be put in accounting. You cannot just say they will be all terrorists. So if we kill them all now, it doesn't matter. Like they don't deserve a life. They, you know, like, I mean, that is the thing. What makes it now, it gets a real bitter taste. I'm totally pro-Israel, and I think a lot of civilists in Gaza are protecting the Hamas. They know the tunnels are there. They are happy when Israelis getting killed. That is 100% true. But you cannot, because of 1,400 dead Israelis and still 100 people are hostages, wipe out hundreds thousands of people.
Yeah.
I mean, the death toll is on 30,000 people, 10,000 are kids.
The
That
reality is that war is a terrible thing, and now that people are being personally touched by the war, they feel passionate about it, but There was no difference in Vietnam, protests from Vietnam. You know what I mean? This has happened, these kind of protests have happened before. So I don't think the protesters are going to make any kind of difference on any kind of policy. So I see it as like in non-constructive, you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. You know, so yeah, I mean, it's very unsettling to not find from both sides like a solution. We all know the Hamas, the Hezbollah, a lot of regimes, Iran want to wipe out the Israelis. Like they want to do genocide on the Israelis. So the Israelis have to be on the watch. And they have to defend themselves and whatever, right? So as I said, I'm 100% pro-Israel there. But still, you still need to keep the relationship in regards of how you proceed, how violent you proceed, and how many civilists getting killed. As an example, you have a city or a street. And they warn everybody, come out of the houses because we will bomb the house. We think there's a tunnel under the house. So now, for whatever reasons, because they are hostages, because they're fanatics, because they don't know what to do, whatever, people are not coming out of the houses, and you don't know who's in that house. Maybe there are 20 kids and 10 women, you know, and you just flatten it. That is the question, especially after so many people are already dead, so many civilians got killed based on this kind of actions. There's the question. When, as an army, also, you have to say, we cannot just kill everybody.
Well, these people were told to leave, you know what I mean? And it was their choice to stay.
I know, but you don't, a lot of people are maybe hostages in a way. You know,
Yeah.
getting told, like from the Hamas under in the tunnel, if you leave the house, we go after everybody from your family, we kill everybody, whatever. I don't know, but it's what I mean. Like, as I said
Yeah.
before, I think they have to. The Hamas are the persons who could finish it all in releasing the hostages. They don't do that, so the Israelis move forward and they do the right thing, moving forward, right? And I only say I would be happy if they could come to any form of conclusion, that the killing stops. And of course,
Yeah.
the ball is in the on the side of the Hamas. They have the hostages. If the hostages would be released, they definitely would not, could not continue like this.
Dude, the hostages are done. I mean, it's been a very long time. I hate to say it this way. It's very sad, but like, some of them probably, a large portion of them are probably dead already. I think that that's it would be wonderful if they came home, but it seems unrealistic at this point, considering how much time.
I know, but then they should maybe give over the dead bodies.
Yeah, maybe that, but I don't think that they're that coordinated. I don't think that, you know what I mean? Everything is kind of chaos. So I don't know. Maybe they don't have the bodies anymore, you know.
I don't know. Maybe also some things got blown up and the bodies are under the rubble.
Or maybe they sold off the women to be wives or something like that. I wouldn't be surprised if there's like some of them are experiencing crazy shit like that.
Yeah, but it's similar to what I sent you today from the Vanity Fair, where
Yeah.
conservatives are one chief's win away from claiming Taylor Swift actually is Joe Biden, and that's why you've never seen them in the same place. The conspiracy theories have gone next level crazy. That is a real article in the Vanity Fair, and I think that says it all. I mean, who comes up with this without being like on crack? I mean, you can come up with everything if you have an LSD trip or whatever, right? But if you actually spread this rumor, then there's nobody who can help you, only like a clinic. And this stuff is out there. And I'm not sure who puts stories like this out. Maybe it is from China and Russia. Maybe it is like kind of leaking more and more because the internet and social media is really, let's say, it went so sideways that it's just a lot of things are just insane, but they're tracking. As we saw when the whole American youth loved the Hamas and thought From the River to the Sea is a super nice song from America. You know, but and not like, yeah, we wipe out Israel, kill everybody, then we have our state from the river to the sea, like a direct genocide line turned into a hippie left culture woke slogan in America where everybody was absolutely excited about, or Osama bin Laden letter to America, where people who are 20, 15, 25, who looks like they have no clue that September 11 happened. They have no clue who Osama bin Laden is. Just saw him as a new Che Guevara, like a, you know, like a freedom fighter, who under all circumstances has to get supported.
Do you know what I think is happening online that these ideas are being spread? I think it's that, like, people in other countries, China, possibly, maybe Russia, just other countries, use an IP masker and they're able to get on Twitter and create a profile that looks like an American. They try to talk like an American, they create a fake persona, and then they start engaging in the comments section of Twitter or online message boards, news articles, and their intention is to make it look like they're an American citizen, but that they have all these radical views. And then they spread these radical views that other people see them and think, wow, you know, this other they put like little feelers out to kind of get somebody to view this and say, that's just like me. And then somebody like part of something that somebody would, you know, associate with, attached with like propaganda, then the person starts adapting the propaganda into their thought process, the American, and then the American spreads it, and then it spreads and it spreads, and it starts spreading from American to American, even though its initial source was foreign agent, you know, creating this division or this doubt. And then, you know, the origin is kind of obscured, and the American keeps spreading it, and they think that this is patriotic. They think that whatever they're doing is for the betterment of their country. That's when they get brainwashed, because it starts spreading like a virus, kind of. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree. It went out of control, but overall, what all of this is doing is it weakens democracy because
Yes.
it completely goes away from the subject matters to absolutely balloony land, where you have just no more, let's say, focus off from the people in any form about the reality. There is
Facts. Yeah.
facts, like there is no more interest of people to discuss facts. And it's from a lot of times, actually, right now, from both sides, you
And a
know,
lot of the truth is being distorted too. Like
when, yeah.
people, the definition of what is a fact is being challenged, you know?
Yes, you know, where I totally agree, where it's challenged what is real and what is not real, or that it's not real, it doesn't matter. It's okay that it's not real and nobody gives a shit about what you just said or whatever. And the facts, like the just the facts, really matter. And I think one of the big problems, also what Bill Mayer always says, is we have an actual problem from the Democrats, from the left, also in Germany here, from the government, with handling truth, you know, in any form, handling truth. They don't want to handle truth. They make propaganda on their own and distorting the facts. That happens here, for example, in Germany, there was today the debate about the budget for next year. And the government tries now here since 4, 5, 6 weeks to picture the anti-Euro party, like the AfD, the Alternative for Germany party, who are right wing, but not Nazis. You know, they are like Meloni in Italy. You know, they're not Nazis. So, and they basically changing the narrative in a massive way, in a very negative way, against them, and make them look like full-on Hitler fans. But it's a lie. It's their defense. That it's their defense to, and they think they staying in power if they make the people believe, like, if you vote for them, you bring Hitler back. And that it's not true.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, it's just not true. It's not reflecting that company. The boss of the German right-wing company, Alex Weidel, she's a lesbian, is married to a woman who's not from Germany, and they have an adopted child, not from Germany. So you really think her biggest goal is to kill all non-Aryan people. I mean, what the fuck? I mean, it's completely insane. You know, and I think what the government is doing there is basically only pushing more people towards this party, because the government is not trying to solve the problems. They only making propaganda against them and against the party. And I think that is a big mistake. And Biden is doing the same. Biden, a lot of times, he's not trying to solve problems. He only tries to distort the facts. And then a Trump comes and says the war in Ukraine is horrible. We have to change it. We have to stop the killing. And blah 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 blah. You know. And I think Trump has there an advantage that he is not sugarcoating things. He talks about the reality. And says, I have to clear up that problem. We cannot have that war. We have to stop the war. Instead, Biden is doubling down and says the whole time, we need to give Ukraine more weapons and whatever, you know, but for what? I mean, what should be the end result of all the bullshit? So, you know, is it great to have an endless... an endless war, you know? I mean, it's very bad.
I agree that the war needs like an end in sight, but I don't believe Donald Trump is not a liar. You know, I don't believe him at his word. I believe that he'll say whatever he needs to say to get reelected. What actually happens is anybody's guess, because I don't think that he's that smart. I don't think he knows what he's fucking doing. He's got a lot of people who are smart propping him up, and I think there's a lot of really bad really bad things in store for our country if he is reelected. I think that you're right about the war, but I don't know, Trump, the
no,
price
I,
to be
no,
paid.
No,
you
I
know?
I also don't trust Trump.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. But I think how the Democrats try to make Trump lose will not work.
They're pointing
is
out the facts that he of things that he's saying, and they're trying to make him into a boogeyman, but at the same time, I kind of believe Trump that some of the things that he said are alarming, and they should be, people should be reminded of those things. So I get what they're trying to do, but I don't know. You might be right. It might be the wrong way to do it. Civility has kind of been lost in the way that we disagree. I think that's the biggest core of the problem, is that people are willing to get cutthroat and with each other to such a degree that, like, it almost becomes like civility to it. Politics is very cutthroat now, and I think the Republicans played dirty, and I think the Democrats are trying to play dirty back, but we'll see if it works. We'll see what happens.
But in Germany, we have an actual real problem in regards of the migration.
Yeah, same thing here too. It is a problem, but yeah.
Exactly, you know, and I think that is yeah, in US it gets worse too. I mean, it was controllable for a longer time, and but it's not
Yeah.
anymore. And our the answer of our government is wrong. It will not lead to less and less.
So extreme measures need to be done.
Yes, you have to. I mean, you know, I mean, and for me, it's like when you see historical what always happens when things happen going sideways. When you have a situation and you don't fix it and you let it grow and grow and grow, things getting more and more like violent in the end. You know, it's
Yeah.
just like definitely very violent, and I think that that is absolutely unacceptable. You
I
know.
think your movie is going to kick some ass, and I think it's going to depict a lot of these issues. It's going to be great, and I'm really excited. I think that the world needs a movie like this right now.
Yes, I mean I cannot talk about cast, but it's getting more interesting in regards of cast. I'm on some good names, and I hope I can on our next podcast basically really confirm like some more names I'm able to get. So we're in full on pre-production mood, and yeah, hopefully everything will work out well. Yeah, what else we have? Also, I started to watch Maestro. I even told you.
Oh, with Bradley Cooper.
Yeah, a horror. I mean, I cannot say it different. I think that's one of the most boring films. Big film, lot of money, big flop, right? I mean, let's face it, and it doesn't really perform at all, even on Netflix. But it costs over $100 million, from what I know, and I really question why money gets spent for this. I think it's absolutely insane to spend so much money on a film, because Leonard Bernstein, you can watch him performing on YouTube whenever you want, like the real Leonard Bernstein. So why spending all their money? You know, why spending all that money?
Yeah, no, I recently saw Napoleon and Oppenheimer.
And
And Oppenheimer was, they were both good films. They're different films. Oppenheimer was shot kind of like Memento, and like the fact that past events and current things that are happening are interwoven in the editing. But to make it easier for the audience, that anything that happens in the past is black and white. But it was a good film. It wasn't great. it was kind of over dramatic. Like there were scenes where like he's sitting completely naked in a chair, and then his mistress is sitting completely naked in a chair, and it's they're chatting very casually. Like I doubt this scientist was like that. You know what I mean? A lot of it is over dramatized for the story. And but it was good. And Napoleon was a strange movie. For a Ridley Scott movie, it was very gory. They had shots of horses getting shot with cannonballs, and you see big holes in their chests, and people getting completely obliterated in battle. They show it, them breaking their legs and getting their heads blown off. And the movie starts with Marie Antoinette getting her head chopped off, and you see the blood coming out of the head. It's very gory. I think that whatever his name, Phoenix, Joaquin Phoenix, he did a good job. He might have been miscast. That it's a French story that's spoken in American, in English. And there's a lot of shocking things in there, like he gets really upset that like his mistress, his wife has a mistress or a suitor. There's a guy who's fucking his wife. He comes home from war. He's really, really upset. And then she's like, "Did you have any, lovers?" And he said, "Of course." You know what I mean? So, like, society is very strange in this film. He like calls his wife a slut because she like cheated on him to like all of the other soldiers and all the other captains, and he's not a very likable character. It was good though. It was interesting. It was a lot of really expensive, really beautiful war scenes. As a plot, it was a little slow. And of course, there's no likable characters, so people might be turned off by that. And it's not for everyone, but I thought it was okay, you know.
So that was our goal. Now I have to take those things. So let's finish it up and
Okay.
bye-bye. Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.
Talk to you.
Yeah.
Okay. Hello?
Hello.
Hello, Matt.
How's it going, my friend?
I heard a cat meowing.
Yes, that was not Picard, it was Dandelion, but yes, that's apropos.
So, lately I've been studying. I just want to say first off, before we start into any of this, I've been studying the summoning of spirits, the art of magical evocation. And I wanted to do a seance to summon the spirit of your cat, Picard, so he can talk with us today on the program. So let me do my seance here. I'm just finishing it up.
Okay.
And I want you to close your eyes and think of Picard.
Right, eyes closed, thinking of Picard, his little white chin, his.
Matt, it's me, Picard. How you doing? I can talk now.
Wow, that's amazing. I've never had a séance with a cat. I'm sure this is a first. I'm sure it won't be my last. Good to.
It's absolutely wonderful to be here. I'm so glad to be on the program with you finally. I see you recording it all the time.
That's right. Yeah, I've made some prior appearances here on Uwe Boll Raw USA, and.
I'm cute. I love food, but I can be a little vacant sometimes.
That's right. Yes, you sometimes will stare at the ceiling, meowing at absolutely nothing, but maybe you can see spirits. That's why you can connect us to us right here in the spirit realm in this part of Gary's seance.
I know, this is crazy, huh? Picard. Yeah, I can't believe this. I can hear him too. Yes, it's absolutely crazy. So I am running for America's favorite pet. And I want you all to vote for me on americasfavepet.com. I love nothing more than a tasty bonito flake to snack on. As for toys, my rotating butterfly spinner keeps me occupied for minutes on end. I love to sit next to flowers once a month. If you are deemed worthy, I will sit on your lap. Is that right?
That's right. I mean, that's so generous, Picard. Most cats never sit in their owner's lap, so to even get once a month is really something. And it's important for people to vote for Picard for America's favorite pet daily. You have to do it every day, but it's free. We'll have the link in the show notes, right, Gary?
Yeah, you know, it looks like they can also pay, but I don't know if he's gonna win, but if enough of you guys out there go to this every single day, this Southerner who loves Star Trek, he's a cat, but he's just totally into that shit, apparently, will win America's favorite pet. He'll win a tax deductible donation supporting paws.org in their mission to help sick, injured, and orphaned animals. Is that right?
Yeah, that seems right. If you choose to donate money to it, and as part of the prize, they get, that organization probably gets something. But the grand prize, if Picard wins, and I hope he does, although it's not necessarily likely, he'll become America's favorite pet, hence the name, win a $10,000 prize. Picard will have to open up a bank account, and he'll be featured on the cover of Modern Cat magazine. So that's quite the trifecta. And
yes, it's going to be absolutely amazing. You can see all these cute pictures of this cat with his tongue hanging out and stuff like that. Very awesome. You guys can find the link to this contest on the Uvaball Raw USA, X Twitter, or on Matt's Twitter.
Yes, great. On my Twitter at MATWBT, or X, I guess they're calling it now. I'll have it pinned right at the top so you can see their really easy link. If you could vote every day for free, that would help. It looks right now, as of this recording in the group, he is ninth. I'm not sure where he needs to be to go to the next stage, because this goes on for a bit. But it looks like in the group there's, can't do math here, it looks like there's like 30 or 40 in the group, so that he's in. Number 9 is pretty good, but we can do better. So this is why we're asking for your vote, along with Picard here, who's part of the seance, who desperately would like to win this. So we'll
yeah,
see.
Picard's gotten really silent. Picard, where'd you go? Oh, I heard a cat. I heard another cat.
Yes.
Is that Picard?
That's not Picard. It should be, but we can.
I think his body transformed back into his body, and he's not.
I think
here
you're
anymore.
Right. You know, yeah, that's right. I have my glasses on. I can see that was Picard. So, yes, his body is.
I've got a cat here meowing. Also meowing to mm-hmm. him. He's meowing to Picard. Yep.
That's right. They're having conversations about this contest. But yeah, it looks like the first cut is in 8 days. So if you can vote every day, as long as he's on the ballot, that would be great. And I appreciate the support here from you, Gary, and from the Uwe Boll Raw USA podcast.
Yeah. So everybody vote, and we will see you soon. This is kind of like a placeholder to remind you to vote for Picard in this wonderful contest where he can win and represent all of the cats in the world in a proper way. Well, anyway, thank you guys. Take care.
Yep.
Bye.
Bye.
Oppenheimer. Now, they recently re-released Oppenheimer because the drought in the theaters is still going on. There's still a lack of content because of the strike, the writer's strike and the actor's strike that happened. So they re-released a lot of movies from last year, probably because some of them got nominated for Oscars. So Oppenheimer was one of them. So I went to go see it. And, you know, it's not the kind of movie that really I'm going to go into a play-by-play enactment of what happened, because really the story itself is like a historical story that would be kind of boring if it were not for the creative liberties that were taken with the storytelling of this factual historical information. Like, it was shot in this sort of recollection style. I guess what was in the past was in black and white, and what was in the present was in color. But even so, and you know, it's hard to believe that this guy's life was as dramatic as this movie makes it seem. I believe that there probably are liberties taken for the sake of the storytelling. But some of it, I don't know. It's hard to believe. Like, the guy gets a lot of pussy. He gets a lot of sex. And, you know, it works within the confines of the film, but I don't know if it's realistic. Like, I don't know. Like, him and her, like, sitting completely naked in a chair while having a conversation. Like, there's no proof that that happened. It's not like he wrote in his dear diary, like, today I fucked that woman again. And he's married throughout the film, and he cheats on his wife, so, like, that's a recurring theme throughout the film. Like, they add in a little spice to make it more interesting, and I get it. But, like, it's hard to believe that everything was as dramatic as it's portrayed. But it was well acted, and there's some very good actors in there who only have, like, a couple lines each. Like, Kenneth Branagh, Rami Malek, Robert Downey Jr. does a very good job. Although the guy who plays Han Solo is also in it. I forgot his name. I saw him in that Warren Beatty film. Anyway. But Robert Downey Jr. does a good job as the villain character. It's kind of hard to... The way that they flip it, that they reveal that he is a villain, you don't really know that he's a villain. You know what I mean? The way that they flip it, I feel like it was very, like, it was the way that they were talking was very, it was like informative to the audience. It wasn't as natural as it should have felt. It felt like it was talking to the audience. It was holding the audience's hand during some of the details of the transitions. This guy's the bad guy, and the whole whatever tribunal, whatever the fuck nonsense at the end of the movie, where he's like, I guess it happens throughout the film, but it really gets centered in the third act at the end, like the last hour of the film, where he's like, he has a lawyer, but it's not really a jury. There's no, like, he can't really object, because it's not like an official hearing. Like, it's sort of like a con job to try and make whatever Oppenheimer lose, like, credibility within the scientific field by revoking his access to military level documentation. Like, fully shaming him because they want to frame him as a communist. And, like, it's a very paranoid film with a lot of, like, sad and startling elements. Like, the communist woman that he has an affair with commits suicide by drowning herself in the tub.
And like it, you know, the way it was shot reminded me a lot of Memento. And you know, it was a good film. It was just a little bit long. It was at least like 40 minutes too long. And I'm not saying any huge chunks of the film should have been cut, but some of it should have been cut down a little bit. I wonder if it would have been as good of a film. It wasn't the best film of all time or the century or whatever that people are saying. It was good though. It was something I'd probably never see again. Just because it's such a, like, they don't really show the bombing of Japan, but the overall tone of the film is very bleak. And, I don't know. It wasn't one of Nolan's better films. It's better than that Tenet, like, Inception fucking bullshit. But yeah, you know, I'd say see it, you know, it reminded me of like the old cinematic experiences of dramatic, like powerhouses, like Oliver Stone's JFK, like seeing that in the theater, that was a huge hit. It reminded me of that. It reminded me of that kind of film, you know, and they don't make those kind of films very often, like the blockbuster powerhouse dramas, you know, which is, I know I support it for that reason. I'm sure it would have looked beautiful in IMAX. I did not see it in IMAX. But yeah, let's give it a, fuck, this is a hard one. I'm going to say 3 out of 5 stars. It was a very good movie. I guess it's they made the subject matter as interesting as they could. You know what I mean? It's not really my kind of subject matter, the science-y kind of stuff, but they added enough drama and personality to the film to make it pretty good. I mean, it's gonna win the Oscar, of course, you know. I wouldn't say it deserves it necessarily, but there's not anything else I can see this year that was very good, so it's probably going to win. Next time, I don't know what I'm going to review. I might go see Killers of the Flower Moon. I might go see Wonka, and I might go see Aquaman 2. So fun. I've got some great films ahead of me. I read the spoilers about Killers of the Flower Moon already, so I don't know if I think that's another movie that you've got to kind of be in the mood for. Do you know what I mean? Same thing with this film. You've got to really kind of be in a I'm gonna pay attention to this kind of mood. I would not watch Oppenheimer in the background. So that's probably why it's best to see it in a theater. See you next time, guys. We'll review something soon. And peace. Ridley Scott's epic war film, Napoleon, was re-released into the theater recently, along with a bunch of other older films from last year because of the writer's strike. So I went to go see it because I missed it the first time around. And, you know, I'd say it's a pretty strange movie for a Ridley Scott film, a man who has done other epic films with violence. This film was more graphic and more gory than his other films, by far. Like, there's a scene of, like, and it's CGI, it's not real, you know, it's very realistic, it looks real. Like a horse getting hit by a cannonball in his chest, and there's a big hole in his chest. And, like, people getting mowed down, people getting their legs broken. The film starts with Marie Antoinette getting her head chopped off, and they hold up the head and it's all dripping with blood. So there's lots of gore. It's very graphic, startlingly so. And is for the shots of the war, of the battles, beautiful. The set design is beautiful. They obviously spent a lot of money on this film. The costumes are beautiful. It's a very thoughtfully made film. But the main character, played by Joaquin Phoenix, is, by all accounts, kind of a bastard, kind of a dick. And not in a traditional sense. The movie is, it focuses on kind of his bizarre behavior mixed with, like, the cultural norms of the time, which are equally bizarre. Like, for example, like, I won't go play-by-play through the movie because it's just not that kind of movie that would lend itself to a play-by-play, you know, recollection of what happened. Similar to Oppenheimer, which I just reviewed, but in that way. But, like, he has, he gets married. He goes off to war. There's word that she's cheating on him. He refuses to believe this. And then when he realizes it's real, he decides to go back home and desert his troops to confront her. And the way that the society operates, I guess word has gotten back that she not only has a lover and it hit the papers, but that he is on his way back. So everybody knows he's coming home. Except for her, bizarrely enough, or maybe she did know, I don't know, but she wasn't home when he gets home, and he's like, you hurt me, and like all this other stuff. He's really upset, and he like psychologically batters her. Like, he's just really, really like bitter and angry and upset that she cheated on him. And you know, she depends on him, so like she begs for his forgiveness and stuff, and she asks him if he had any suitors or he had any lovers, and he's like, of course, you know. So he can do whatever he wants, but she does it, and it's like this huge deal. And eventually he like wants a kid, right? And she can't give him a kid, so like one of his handlers, one of his like royal servants, because by this time he's like worked his way up the political spectrum and he's the emperor and of France, and she's like, hey, we have an 18-year-old girl made up in the bed, and if she doesn't get pregnant, then we'll know it's not you, it's your wife. There's something wrong with her. So like he's like goes in and blows out the candles. This girl's terrified, and he gets her pregnant. She's like, yeah, they're like, yeah, she's pregnant. So he like is like, yeah. So he divorces his wife, and it's a really horrible, kind of shameful way. They make her read from a script, and like he's very abusive to her, like slaps her and shit, and says that they'll always be friends. It's just that's the comical part about it. It's just so fucking unbelievable from today's perspective. But the film, you know, is probably maybe it went down like that. She gets like kind of like banished to like the countryside, and this the now ex-wife gets banished to the countryside in this like beautiful mansion that obviously he subsidizes. He gets the mistress becomes the new wife, because he has his son, and then he like manipulates psychologically his ex-wife to become his new lover, his new like mistress. It's totally fucking backwards, and you know, it's not like the ex-wife wants to do that, but she has everything on the line. He's got so much power, and he's got a really bad temper. It's just such a it's not a very flattering portrait of Napoleon, but maybe there's some truth in that. And it made it interesting. I mean, that was the most interesting part. At some point, the battles in the film kind of get a little old, even though they're very well made and there's lots of real people. I mean, there must have been CGI somewhere in there, but you couldn't even tell. But somewhere towards the third act, it gets a little long, and really there should have been some cuts and some of the battle sequences. But yeah, you know, I won't spoil any more of the film. I'll just say that it was worth seeing probably in the theater, because it forces you to pay attention to it. I don't know if it would be any good or even interesting if you were watching it casually and you weren't like paying full attention to what you were seeing. And plus, seeing it on the big screen adds like a dimension to it, adds sort of depth to it, I feel, than watching it on like a TV. So I would give the film, what would I give it? I know I've done this so many times, but it would probably be a 2.5 out of 5. It was a perfectly serviceable film. It was good, but I would probably never see it again. It had kind of like absurd comedic parts, but overall it was a light war epic, I would say. You should see it at least once, even though Joaquin Phoenix might have been miscast, possibly. He plays the role with a sort of stoicism, unless he's like enraged, where it's like goes from 1 to 11 instantly. And he plays it well, he does. But the character is kind of absurd. He's very vain, almost comically so. So it just interjects this underlying humor, I guess, to it, of like this the absurdity that he's like worshipped, and he's made this name for himself through like manipulation, basically. But yeah, you know, next time I will see, I don't know. I think I'm supposed to go see Killers of the Flower Moon on Thursday. We will see if I make it through the full like 3.5 hours of that, because I mean, if the movie is really good, it won't matter. I'll love it. I'll stay. But I don't know. I've read the spoilers for it and on the movie spoiler, and I don't know. Like, it doesn't sound like there's much to it, but the way that they spoil the film is very like robotic on that side. It's very like they just like kind of spurt out facts. They don't have any of the nuance of the film itself. So whatever. But yeah, there's a lot of streaming films that are in the theater. It's so strange, because I think that, yeah, I think it was an Apple film. Napoleon was an Apple film. Writing is on the wall, my friends. I really wish there was more diversity in the studios themselves. The less studios and producers that we get, the less, I feel like the less flavor we have, the less choice there is, the more narrow cinema starts to feel. So let's, you know, I know that Apple has their own list of producers and they have their own network, but let's try and look outside that box. It's so hard for indies to get support these days, get funding, like Uwe said in one of our recent podcasts, you know. So, yeah, have a great day, guys. I'll see you next time. Peace.